That's hard to follow up. That's hard to follow up. But I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. Has your mouth ever gotten you into trouble? That's my question. That is my question. Obviously, it has. You know, just a few short years ago when I was in high school, the truth is, my graduating class has its 40th class reunion this year. 4-0. Right? Anyway, it used to be that at every high school student was required to take government and psychology. I don't know what that's like now, but government and psychology were required courses. And you dare not talk in class in government, because Mr. Harvey Roberts was a force to be reckoned with. Harvey Roberts was the football coach, the big guy, big voice, big commanding personality. And, you know, when a teacher starts out his class by saying, "This is not a democracy, this is a dictatorship." That's the beginning of his class. You pay attention and you keep your mouth shut. Right, but Mr. Morocco's psychology class was different. And looking back, his style of teaching was a psychological game in and of itself. And but in his class, you know, there were moments where you could get by with talking to the people around you, which I tended to like to do. But there are also moments when you got caught, which I tended to get caught a lot, all right? And so he would invariably say, "Well, you're talking in class." I was one of those students. "Would you like to share with the rest of the class, Mr. Vernon?" And I'd say, "No, not really. But thanks for asking," right? Yeah. And needless to say, our mouths can get us into trouble quickly. But I want to ask you another question, a little more serious question. Has your mouth ever hurt someone else? Have you ever said things that cause irreparable damage to a friendship? Has maybe it was something hurtful, something cruel, something critical. There were some words that you said that tore into the soul of another person. Anybody? Most of us know this saying, right? We know this saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me, will never hurt me." You know that's a lie. It's a big lie, isn't it? You and I, we may pretend that we're not hurt by things that people say to us, but the reality is that we've been deeply hurt by the words of other people. All of us. And just like sticks and stones can build bridges and break bones, words can build up other people, but they can also break them down completely. A kind word, you know, an encouraging word at the right time can change a life. It really can. An unkind word, a cruel word, a critical word at the same time can destroy a life, can literally destroy a life. And so we're beginning a series of messages focusing on the words that we speak. And there's a scripture that serves as the foundation of all of the messages within this series of the next several weeks. Many of you are familiar with this verse. It's Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The tongue has the power of life and death. Let's pray. God, I'm just praying, Lord, that these next several weeks would be really transforming times for us. That, Holy Spirit, that you would convict us, but also that you would heal us as we all have been the recipient of some very destructive words. Death-filled words, even. And so, God, I'm just praying, God, that you would work in our hearts even now and begin to knead us and do a good work within us as we look at this subject of our words. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it really kind of feels a bit unnecessary to remind us all about the power of words. To say that a person's words can both create and destroy, I think really is common knowledge. Because, and it's really common experiential experience for all of us. But I want you to pause and let's just pause and think about our lives for a moment. Every single one of us has been the recipient of an encouraging word. How many have ever been encouraged by somebody? Someone said some things to you that boosted your confidence, that raised your self-esteem, that lifted your spirit. How many have had that experience in your life? Yeah, feels good, doesn't it? But we've also been, haven't we, the recipient of judgmental words, critical words, hurtful words. People have said things to us that have ripped into the very fabric of our souls. Now, the converse is also true. Every one of us has also had the opportunity to build somebody up. Have you ever had an opportunity like that, to really build somebody up at a critical time in their life? Yeah. Maybe you brought some comforting words to their life. Maybe you brought an encouraging word to their life. Maybe you even brought healing to their life through the words that you spoke to them in the experience that they were going through. You brought some healing in their lives. How many have ever had the opportunity to be the vehicle in which you bring an encouraging word? Amen. But you know what? It's also true that every one of us has also been the perpetrator, spewing out some destructive words on other people and into other people, sometimes knowingly, unfortunately, sometimes unknowingly, sometimes callously, and sometimes carelessly. We become the perpetrator and we bring destructiveness with our words rather than life to our words. And so we can, we're on both sides of the coin, aren't we? We can bring some really good things into people's lives with our words, and we can be the perpetrators of some really, really ugly stuff just by opening our mouths. And Proverbs 18:21, it really lays it out pretty plainly, doesn't it? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And you know what? I think it seems that this particular proverb is telling every single one of us that God has given us a certain amount of power with the words that we released out to other people. Right? And this shouldn't really be a surprise to because the scripture says that we are created right in God's image. And if think about the Genesis account of creation, we see how words were the vehicle that God used to create the physical or natural realm. He used words to create. And when God wanted something to be created, what did he do? He spoke. He spoke. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God said, everybody say that with me. And God said. And if we go fast forward, into the future after creation, God bridged the chasm of sin that separated humans from himself. And how did he connect with people? How did God get from the spiritual to the natural where we live? Well, John tells us this in his gospel, the beginning of his gospel. He says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so God came to us through his Word. He came to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's constantly bridging the gap by speaking his Word to you and me. Bringing us closer to himself. He speaks the Word. So it really shouldn't be a surprise that our words have a measure, or let's just call a measure of influence. Let's just call it a measure of creative influence. Our words have a measure of creative influence in other people's lives, even our own lives. The words that we speak to ourselves have influence, don't they? But I want to press this idea further. If God connects to us through his Word, then it's also naturally, it follows that we're supposed to connect with God with our words. Does that make sense? Psalm 100, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." You know what? In this psalm, we're told to come into his presence with singing. We're told to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We're told to come into his courts with praise. All three actions are expressed how? With words. With words. All three actions of worship are expressed with words. And so many people have such a struggle with congregational worship. They have such a hard time with singing or shouting or praying out loud. They have such a difficult time with this. But I believe this is important to know as we think about us connecting to God with our words. I want you to think about this. This is so important. Satan will do everything he can to discourage you from being vocal in your praise to God. Because why? Because he knows that your words of praise, your words of worship, and your words of gratitude connect you to God in awesome ways. Your words connect you to God as well. And so Satan wants us to do one of two things. He either wants us to be a grumbler and a complainer, because grumbling is an expression of unbelief and ingratitude. That's what grumbling is. When you complain, right, you're just ungrateful. Or he just wants us to be silent, to remain silent. Either he wants us to grumble, or he wants us to just be mute, just silent. And the reason is because our praise, our words of praise, and our even a simple, sincere, vocal prayer connects us to God. How many believe that? And so, God bridges the gap to us through words. We're to connect to him in the very same way with our words. Amen? But let's get back to this idea about our words being powerful. Proverbs 18 says our words are powerful. They have some kind of creative influence on other people. But what kind of influence is up to us? You can either choose to speak and release positive words of love and encouragement and nurture to other people, or you can choose to release negative words of condemnation, criticism, coldness, harshness. And we have a choice, don't we? We can choose how to use our mouths, how to use our voice, how we choose to speak. So where do we see some of the impact of our words the most? Where do we see some of the impact? Well, we would immediately point to children. Huh? Our children. Our grandchildren. Any child that you have any connection with. But let's just think about the family unit for just a moment. If a child does not receive words of love and encouragement from their flesh and blood parents during their early growing years, many times that child will grow up thinking that they'll never, never be good enough, or they never will amount to anything worthwhile. And I was thinking about this week. In the form of a question, could it be that there are many, many adults walking around this earth who haven't accomplished everything God had in store for their lives because they're living out of the negativity and pessimism that their parents had heaped upon them all throughout their childhood? They're living out of all the words that their parents, negative words that their parents imparted into them, and they're not able to fulfill all of what God might have for their lives because of that. Could it be that they're adults just walking around all over the earth living less than what they could be living, at least in terms of God's plan and desires, because they're living out of these words? Something to think about when we think about the words that we speak to children. Now, this same type of mental, emotional, maybe even spiritual death can also occur in marriages, can it? Between husbands and wives, and you know what's interesting is that what follows the famous verse about death and life being in the power of the tongue is a declaration about marriage. Chapter 18, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Well, that's odd. Isn't it odd that that verse would follow a verse about the power of the tongue, the power of words? I find that to be interesting. I don't know about you, but could it be that the message that's being communicated is your marriage will never be better than the words you exchange? I'm going to say it again. Your marriage will never be better than the words that you exchange between one another as husband and wife. Never be better than that. And there are countless married women and men who've had all their self-respect, all their self-worth, all their self-confidence stripped from them because of the damaging words that they've received from their spouse. Now, interesting, there was a University of Denver study done on a group of married couples, and they studied the first decade of their marriage, the first 10 years of their marriage. They studied couples. And the results were that of those couples that actually stayed together for 10 years, There was one distinct difference. One. With the couples that stayed together, only 5 out of 100 comments made to each other were put downs. You hear me? Only 5 out of 100 comments that they exchanged were put downs. And the conclusion of the study actually said this: hostile put downs act as cancerous cells that, if unchecked, erode the relationship over time. In the end, relentless, unremitting negativity takes control, and the couple can't get through the week without major blow-ups. They can't do it. And I think this really supports the idea that what we say in our marriages has creative or destructive power. Tearing each other down, putting each other down, nitpicking, pointing out flaws, pointing out failures, erodes intimacy in marriage over time. It erodes it over time. Now, years ago, I was thinking, many years ago, 20 years ago, I actually watched a National Geographic documentary on the team of painters that painted the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a terrifying documentary, right? Because they're not strapped down, no cables. They're walking on that bridge, on the top of that bridge, and it's terrifying. This group of workers were actually closer than their own flesh and blood, because they had to have each other's backs all the time working on that bridge. Now, here's the thing about the Golden Gate Bridge. Did you know that the Golden Gate Bridge is being repainted on a continual basis? At any given moment, there are sections of the bridge that are being repainted. It never stops getting repainted. Do you know why? Because of the salt content in the air, or of the air. The salt is constantly eroding the structure of that bridge. It isn't very comforting. Right? Yeah. But so the bridge's steel has to be painted all the time to protect the bridge from erosion. Hostile put-downs is the salt air that erodes a marriage. But what's the paint? What's the paint that protects our marriage from eroding? It's our words of praise. Honey, you're really good at this. Did you know that? You're really good at this. It's our words of affection. It's the words of concern. Are you doing okay? Because you seem out of sorts. Are you okay? Are you doing okay? Kind words. Caring words. These are the things that act as paint that keep our marriages from eroding. You didn't know this was going to be about marriage, did you? You thought, well, this is going to be about words, right? The words we speak. But you know what? I'm going to go even further to say that there are some phrases that can act like paint and restore and heal a marriage. Phrases. In fact, 3 phrases actually that can heal and restore a marriage. You ready for them? I am sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Those 3 phrases are powerful and can restore and heal any breach, most breaches in a marriage, in a relationship. So I think we should all practice, because it's so hard. Because I know for some of us, we're like, yeah, I can't say that. right? I mean, this is so hard for me to say this. So I'm going to have you say this one because this is the hardest, right? So everybody repeat after me. I was wrong. Come on. God, it hurts, doesn't it? Isn't that, it hurts. I was wrong. How about this one? I am sorry. Please forgive me. I'm telling you, those phrases can go a long way and could actually apply some paint to a part of your relationship in your marriage. So go home and practice, those of you that are married, all right? Just practice, right? And you're going to stumble over it, I know. Right. By the way, parents, these phrases will be the most powerful and impacting words that your children will ever hear from you as a mother and a father. Those phrases as well. For some reason, we think it's unwise to admit wrong to our kids. For some reason, we think that confessing our weakness and mistakes surrenders our position of leadership and authority. But I'm telling you that apologies to your kids is the best thing that you can do, and it shortens the gap between you and your children right there. And you can bring healing and restoration to a parent-child relationship if you use those three phrases: I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And you can bring that relationship closer together by using those three phrases. Trust me, it works. It works. And so we ought to be able and willing to say those phrases to our kids as parents. All right? So, end of rant. Now, I want to finish with this, because there's some that might say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, surely the words that I express to God, or maybe even speak to other people, they aren't really that important. Do I really need to pay that close attention to the words that I speak? Somebody might be thinking that, you know, what? Why is this so important? Or there might be some thinking that, hey, I'm just going to say what I want. I mean, this is America, right? And I'm just, hey, nobody's going to tell me what I can say and what I can't say. I'm just going to say what I want, when I want, how I want. It's on them. It's not on me, right? And we can have these kinds of attitudes, but I think it's good to be reminded how important this is to God. Jesus says in Matthew 12, but I tell you that men or humans or mankind will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Seems to be that our words are worth so much that God is recording every single one of them for eternity. Think about that. I don't know how he's doing it. Maybe the angels are involved. If so, I can imagine the conversation, right? It's like, hey, could you trade me? I mean, I can't keep up with this one. I'm getting writer's cramp because he's talking so much, you know, right? You know, I mean, if they're involved, I don't know how they're involved, you know, but every single word is being recorded in eternity in order to be judged by God. Think about that. I can imagine some angel saying, oh, Miss Gumby, ugly. And we laugh. But God is holding every single one of us personally accountable for the words that we have spoken to other people and how we have spoken to them. God is holding every single one of us personally accountable. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said this about this type of accounting that we'll have to make one day. He said in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day of judgment, will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. I like what Pastor Robert Morris comments in a book that he wrote, The Power of Your Words. He said this. He said, I suspect that there are going to be a lot of believers surprised on the day of judgment when, though they are saved and heaven-bound, they find that much of what they did and what they said on earth has been incinerated rather than rewarded. Every word we speak is being recorded. That's the bad news. But the good news is, because of God's grace, when we confess our sins, including the sins that we commit with our mouths, right? What does God do? He cleanses us. He forgives us of that sin. He cleanses us from that. And the psalmist says he remembers it no more. So, I want to leave us on a really, I think it's a good note, because when we self-monitor, raise the standard of the words that we speak, our lives will be better. Amen? Our relationships will be better. Our friendships will be better. Our work relationships will be better. And our eternity will be better, won't it? And so, we're going to be focusing for several more weeks on our words. I can take you, but we're going to be focusing several more weeks on our words. But for today, I believe the takeaway is simply this. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our word life. Our word life. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our word life. Amen? So here's the prayer that you can begin to pray, even today and into next week. Holy Spirit, speak to me plainly about the words I speak and how I express myself to all the people in my life. That's the prayer. That's your prayer. That's my prayer. Holy Spirit, speak to me plainly about the words that I speak and how I express myself to all the people in my life. And then wait for God to speak about your life and the way that you speak to other people. Let's pray. God, we want to get this right, because Lord, we have to confess it. we so don't have it right. We so much don't have it right in our lives. So God, we so much so want to get this right, and we need your help, Spirit of God. Would you help us to see how it is that we truly speak? Point out the adjustments that we need to make in our conversations, our words. And Lord, we say that we'll make the adjustments. We're willing to make the adjustments. So Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would just, that this would be transforming. Transforming. Could make all the difference in the world in our lives and people in our life. So God, we want to be life givers in what we say. Life givers. And we need your help in that, in Jesus' name. We're late. It's a little late today, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond before we leave. And there's two groups of people today, two ways that you can respond. And I'm just going to have you respond by standing, and just allowing God to work in your life. The first group is that you've been on the other end of some hurtful words, and you've got an open wound in your soul. Maybe somebody spoke these words to you last week or last month or last year. Maybe they were spoken to you as a child, but God wants to bring healing to your life today. And so if you feel you're on the other end of those words, and even to this day it hurts, it aches, I'm just going to invite you to stand up and say, Lord, I need healing. I need healing today. I need healing. Just as God speaks to you, just respond and stand to Him. You've been on the other end, it hurts. Hurts. But secondly, there's a group, maybe you're the perpetrator. Let's be honest. When you speak, you leave people dying on the battlefield. You think you're speaking the truth in love, but God thinks otherwise. And if you just would like to confess, Lord, I've been careless, I've been callous, and sometimes I've been really hurtful with the words that I've spoken to other people, I'm going to invite you to stand and just confess that to God. Maybe some of you are just feeling really guilty, right? You feel guilty. You know you hurt somebody close to you with something that you said, and you're guilty. You feel guilty. You know as soon as you said it, it was like a torpedo released from the tube, and it went right into their heart, and it just exploded. God's offering forgiveness. Just invite Him to forgive you. Lead you into a different place when it comes to this matter of talking, speaking, conversing. Let's stand. God, we pray that you would continue to speak to us. Speak words of caution, speak words of affirmation, encouragement, speak words of love, speak words, God, to us, Lord, and direct us, God, in what we speak to others. We go with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.